back with you on the Leader Dieter Kurtenbach until 10 p.m. Giants Hot Stove League show coming up here at 7. We'll talk a little bit of baseball. We will not belabor the main point. We will be quick and incisive with our commentary, R.E. Barry Bonds. We'll be taking after Matt Barros. He is incisive with all of his commentary, and he joins us now on the UMA guest line. Matt, are you completely exhausted yet, or do you still have something left in the tank for us?
Oh, I'm going to reach down and okay. and get a hold of something. I don't know what that something is, but there's got to be something left in the tank. I'm watching this. They're replaying the 49ers-Packers on NFL Network, and it's late in the third quarter. The Packers are driving. Trent Williams is limping around. Debo Samuel is limping around. George Kittle. There's no way. There's no way. I mean, it's all Packers the rest of the way. Let's just start writing our stories now. These guys don't have anything left in the tank, but they keep finding something in the corner of that tank, you know, at the very bottom, and it's become their calling card for these playoffs, and I think that makes them dangerous.
No question. They don't even need to be dangerous anymore. They just need to win another game, and they're in the Super Bowl. I don't care what you are. If you're one game away, you're something worthwhile. And I guess my question is, you mentioned the Trent Williams limping off the field thing. The physical toll of that game in Green Bay looked significant, but now that we're here in Wednesday, now that the guys have had some time to defrost from their trip to the Arctic, what's the injury situation looking like for the Niners?
I think in reality it's probably a lot worse than what's reflected on the injury report. That thing seems to clear up for all these teams in the off season, late in the postseason, because all of these guys want to play. So it's not really that extensive. Trent Williams did not practice today. We'll have to see what happens with him on Thursday. No Jeff Wilson today. But everyone else was out there at least in a limited position. So I think it's looking good. I think that Trent Williams is a big question mark, and I think Ambry Thomas, the cornerback, is the other one. He was limited today. He looked a little bit more fluid, more mobile than he did at this point last week, but I think that's still a question mark, and if he couldn't go, and remember, he had the game-sealing interception against the Rams in Week 18, it would be another Dante Johnson start.
I can't believe that I'm saying this out loud, given where we were just a couple of weeks ago, but it really does feel like Ambry Thomas has to play in this game. As good as Dante Johnson has been, and he should get some props for his play over the last couple of weeks, and certainly in watching back the Week 18 performance that he had, where he was both at cornerback and safety in that game, I thought he was wonderful in that performance, but with Emmanuel Moseley coming through in such a big way for this team since he's returned, and Thomas just getting better and better and better, you're looking at a Niners team going up against arguably the best receiving core in the NFL. I think Van Jefferson is really underrated. We know what Odell Beckham Jr. can do when he is fully activated. I think he's close to that point, and Cooper Kupp was the best receiver in the NFL this season. Like, it does feel like there's a little bit riding on Ambry Thomas's bruised knee, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think the 49ers defense got a nice assist from old man Winter up in Green Bay. And I'm saying that to detract from their performance.
Yeah.
I think it's just reality. I mean, that's why there were the 49ers didn't score any offensive touchdowns. Just easier for the defense when the passing game is restricted like that. This obviously is in a temperature-controlled environment, and you've got a quarterback in Stafford who likes to challenge deep. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with you for sure. I mean, I think that would be where Dante Johnson would struggle, and that's where I would attack if I were the Rams, if he were the starter. But it's where the 49ers excelled in Week 18. I mean, Moseley had a deep interception, and then Ambry Thomas had the game sealer, also deep ball on that right sideline. So really great work by them. They were the stars. Jimmy Ward had two picks in the Week 10 matchup. Mm-hmm. That, to me, that's the key. I mean, it's obvious.
Right.
He who throws the most interceptions in this game is probably going to lose. But I think it comes down to the respective defensive lines, and they just need to the Rams try to pressure Jimmy Garoppolo into making mistakes, and that's what the 49ers' key to victory would be, is not letting Stafford have time to throw to Kupp and rattling him into mistakes. And he does make mistakes.
No question.
Has all of his career, and certainly has this season, including in the two losses to the 49ers.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Let's start with the first part of that analysis first, as we talk to Matt Barros of The Athletic. He who throws the fewest picks will win. How is Kyle Shanahan feeling about Jimmy Garoppolo's performance so far this postseason? How are they spinning this bad boy as to make it? Because he's been sorry. It hasn't been good. And I get it. He's injured, and certainly I don't expect anyone to be good in the conditions. I mean, Aaron Rodgers was bad in the conditions last week. He had a pretty nice season. So clearly it was no environment to be tossing a football around last week. But it feels like the time for grading Jimmy Garoppolo on the curve is now over. And I'm just curious as to what Kyle says about the performance to date and kind of the vibes you're picking up when you're reading between the tea leaves.
Yeah, I mean, the pick to end the second quarter was terrible. That could have been, probably should have been, the game breaker, especially when Aaron Rodgers follows it up with a 75-yarder to Aaron Jones. I mean, the 49ers dug themselves out of that with a sack by Bosa and then the blocked field goal in the half. But that at least could have been a 10-point swing, or 6-point swing if the 49ers had gotten a field goal. And in a game like that, that's the difference. And so, Shanahan was very careful in what he said. He was asked a couple of questions about Garoppolo and Garoppolo's seeming unwillingness to throw the ball away. And I felt like in a game like that, with the elements what they were, you have to know what the limitations are. You have to know that those passes to the sideline are going to take longer. And that just comes with experience and maturity. And you would have thought that Garoppolo would have that by now. Yeah. Those were bad passes. Just watching the game today, and I looked at it on Tuesday as well, there was one of the sideline, I'll call it a sideline flutterer, and Troy Aikman was on his case about that during this telecast, was to Elijah Mitchell. And I thought that Mitchell could have bailed out his quarterback a little bit better by coming back to the ball. That's not anything that Elijah Mitchell did a lot of in college, and he hasn't been the third down back to this point. And I think this is kind of part of the reason why he just doesn't have the experience, doesn't know that you need to, take two steps back towards the ball. And I don't think that would have looked quite as bad. But again, it was the one pick. There was another one, Charlie Warner, that probably shouldn't have been thrown either. You have to know that in a game like that, it's going to come down to a field goal. You can't make those mistakes.
No.
And he made a couple of bad throws. And Kyle Shanahan's point was he made a couple of really good ones too.
He did.
And risky ones that ended up being excellent throws. One of them was dropped by Juwan Jennings. But the stuff down the middle of the field, Jimmy Garoppolo's bread and butter, those were on target, and that's what helped this team win the game. So we need to add that to the equation. But the stuff to the outside, in the wind, with bad footing, you just can't do that in a game like that.
It's just tough to be talking about stuff that if he wasn't 30 years old, you'd be saying that's a rookie mistake. We're too far in for those to still be the case, and certainly we're too far into the season for that to be the case. So frustrating, but at the same time, as you aptly pointed out, like, the dude also had some absolute darts. I mean, he actually made a great throw to the sideline to George Kittle early in the game.
Yes,
Kittle made an incredible catch.
Right.
It's like, Damn, I just wish we knew what we were getting. But Bad Jimmy has to die if the Niners are going to win this game, because I'm fairly certain that the Rams are going to put it in his hands, a la the Super Bowl in Miami with the Kansas City Chiefs, and 2-for-11 in the fourth quarter will not get it done. The second part of your very astute analysis not that long ago was the changes that the defense has made as of late. And D'Amico Ryans' name is being brought up about every 50 seconds around the NFL right now. He's the hottest name on the streets of the league. What has most impressed you about D'Amico Ryans' just job as defensive coordinator here in the first year in this role?
Well, I mean, on Saturday, he did a Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio's known as, like, the dean of defensive coordinators. Been doing it since, you know, the mid-'80s in the NFL, since the mid-'80s. And so we used to chalk up the 49ers games against Aaron Rodgers to largely to that. I mean, his experience, obviously the fact that they had all sorts of talent on that defense, but he knew how to use it. He knew how to confuse Aaron Rodgers. And here was D'Amico Ryans doing the same thing to Aaron Rodgers as a first-year coordinator. So I forget what the stat was. They blitzed on 5 of 34.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Dropbacks, I mean, they didn't blitz very much at all. So, that's how you beat Aaron Rodgers. You get pressure on him with four, you mix up your coverages, and you don't blitz, because he sees that blitz and, you know, talk about a 30-something quarterback. He knows exactly where to go with the ball. He is a wolf when it comes to that sort of thing. And they didn't give him a lot of wolf out opportunity. In fact, the one where I think,
he didn't take it.
I'm guessing. Yeah, exactly. Was at the end of the game, and the 49ers faked a blitz, and it looked for all the world as if Dante Johnson was on Devontae Adams. You know, single coverage, and Rodgers sees that and says, "Okay, this is the guy I go to." And he went for the deep ball, but Talanoa Hufanga, they were in their dime defense at that point, had lined up sort of close to the line of scrimmage, and just made a beeline to the opposite end zone at the snap, and beat Devontae Adams downfield, and they had that well covered. And I think that they fooled Aaron Rodgers, the MVP of the league, probably, into making that throw. So, I mean, it was a smartly called game, because he was doing those seldomly. He was picking his spots, but he was picking them in all the right spots. And that's what that's what great coordinators do. They get a feel for the game. They get a feel for the opponent. And then they pick their spots. And I think that was probably D'Amico Ryans, again, with a big assist from the weather, his best game this season.
All while Alan Lazard stands in the middle of the field wondering why Aaron doesn't love him. But an incredible call, bringing two safeties, leaving a third on the field, and making the play. Aaron Rodgers losing in the divisional round again. The 49ers move on without scoring an offensive touchdown, and we have this incredible matchup on Sunday between two division rivals in a stadium of unknown composition come Sunday. But Matt Barros and I will be there. So looking forward to the game. Thank you so much for your analysis, my friend. Looking forward to much better weather this weekend compared to what we just had.
Yeah, absolutely. I will see you down there.
Sounds good. Thanks much, Matt.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.